Thank you for being here, our special audience. Thank you for being here. We will have today the presentation about how local food policy is being used to advocate for farm-to-school initiatives. The first speaker is Ms. Margaret Burkey. Is that?
Helen Dombalis.
Helen Dombalis. Oh, okay. And Ms. Dombalis serves as Policy and Strategic Partnership Director for the National Farm-to-School Network. She has researched the role of local and regional food systems in bolstering community economic development, and now advocates for expanding access to healthy, sustainable food through school meal programs, gardens, food, and agricultural education. Helen serves as Policy Co-Chair for APHA's Food and Environment Working Group and holds Masters of Public Health and Social Work.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I am also going to invite my colleague, Stephanie Heim, up. Do you want to do a quick introduction?
Sure. My name is Stephanie Heim, and I serve as the state lead for the National Farm to School Network in Minnesota. And we are in the midst of doing farm to school policy work at the state level. And Helen and I connected yesterday afternoon. She's like, you should come to my session in the morning.
And present with me.
Yeah. And I work for the University of Minnesota.
All right, so I actually wanted to just ask of the audience, how familiar are you all with farm to school? Raise your hand if you are familiar with farm to school already. No. Okay, so we'll do a brief intro. So as you can see here, we're going to talk specifically about how you can use research and tools to advance farm-to-school legislation at the state level. We have no relationships to disclose other than anything you have to add. So farm-to-school, and also there are handouts at the bag, but farm-to-school is the literal farm-to-school where you're buying local products and getting them into school cafeterias, but it also includes, as you can see here, school gardens and education. So really at its core, farm-to-school is about experiential food education, so getting kids to grow food in school gardens, meet farmers, do taste tests, do cooking demonstrations, so really experiencing food so that they feel empowered to make healthy food choices. The National Farm to School Network is a hub, so we connect people to people, people to information, and then people to policy. This is just a network structure explaining that we have a true network. So all of you can join our network. You can just go to our website, farmtoschool.org. So we now are actually at over 10,000 network members. And then we have 8 regional leads. So we've divided the country into 8 regions. So we have a point person in each of the 8 regions of the country. They are at other organizations. And then we have 51 state leads, so a point person in each of the 50 states and D.C. So Stephanie is, as an example, she is our Minnesota state lead. So the point is that each of you, wherever you're coming from, can reach out and find out who it is working in your state and in your region that can support you in doing farm-to-school work. So when we talk about farm-to-school, we talk about the triple win. One of the handouts at the back is the benefits of farm-to-school. So that's basically a compilation of the research that's been done on farm-to-school, so how it impacts the health of kids, the economic income of farmers, and then overall just communities, so things like kids taking what they learn back to their parents and to their community. And one example that I always like to give, especially since we're at APHA, is that research has shown when kids are involved in farm-to-school, they actually eat more servings of fruits and vegetables, and it makes sense. If they planted that carrot seed and they watched it grow into a carrot, they're going to want to taste it and eat it because they've been involved. Or if they've met the farmer who grew the broccoli that's being served in the cafeteria, they're going to feel more excited about it. So this is just the graphic for the handout that's at the back with all that research. And then I'll just mention, federal advocacy effort-wise, one of the things that we did back in 2010 was lobby Congress to establish October as Farm to School Month. So we just passed October, but next year, if y'all are interested, please reach out because we're always looking for ways to help celebrate Farm to School. So in terms of policy, as with any type of policy, whether it's Farm to School or tobacco policy, there are, of course, different levels of policy. So today, we're going to focus on state-level policy. 38 states and D.C. as of 2013 have actually now passed Farm to School policies. So we will pass pass around this resource, thanks, that was developed, that was produced earlier this year. So what we did is we partnered with Vermont Law School Center for Agriculture and Food Systems to put together this report that looks at every state and what they have done or have not done to implement farm-to-school policies. And it includes not just legislation that's been attempted, but then, of course, also passed. This is the map. I'll just stay on that map a second so you all can see where your state is. It's essentially a heat map to show lack of legislation. So the darker the color, the less farm-to-school legislation. So the lighter the color, the more farm-to-school supportive legislation is in place. And I think Stephanie might want to say a few things here.
So in Minnesota, we have leveraged this report as a way to kind of re-energize around having conversations about farm-to-school. So we in Minnesota have a lot of activity going on, and nothing is really supported by policy. So we're one of the 12 states, one of the few states that don't have farm-to-school policy. And we've used that fact as a way to bring people together to say, this isn't new. This is something that's happening nationally. And people have felt really empowered by that. Like, we don't want to be the state that's left out of the group. And we're following in the footsteps of so many other people. So that's been a really incredible way to get a diverse group of stakeholders around the table. And also our leaders at, like, our state agencies have been paying attention to this. So this report came out, and they were contacting us saying, well, what's going on? I thought Minnesota was further ahead. So the visual map has been really great, but it's also been a really tremendous resource for us in Minnesota.
Yeah, and so I think the other thing here, just since this whole session is about how to use strategies and tactics to advance policy, I think, you know, what we've seen is not just the report itself, which y'all are looking at, but then also this map is an effective tool. And this got, like, so much traction on social media through Facebook and Twitter because maps can be so effective. I won't spend a lot of time on this because I really want to get to some of the state examples, but this is also in the report. The point just being that when we actually looked at what's been done in these 38 states and D.C., there's so many different ways to go about implementing farm-to-school policy. So just like there are different types of farm-to-school, school gardens, local procurement, education, there are many ways to go about it. So you can allocate resources where the state government actually commits part of their budgets to funding projects. You can have a state coordinator position. You can have an additional reimbursement where the school gets more money if they're supplying local products. So many different ways to actually go about this. So I'm going to bring up three specific state examples and then really want to turn it over to Stephanie to talk about what she's been doing in Minnesota. So the first example is Oregon. This was a report called The Impact of 7 Cents. So Oregon wanted to ask their state legislature to actually invest dollars, so state budget investment in farm-to-school programming. But in order to do that, they realized they had to make the case. So there was a public health foundation that decided they would fund research to show how if they piloted farm-to-school in two different school districts, if that had impact, positive impacts on public health, the thought was would then be that they could lobby to the state legislature to make this a statewide program. So what they researched is the impact of a 7-cent additional reimbursement. So we probably all know that schools have very little money to actually pay for school meals. So the thinking here was what happens when you give per school lunch 7 cents more for local products that are going on the lunch tray. And so what they ended up finding is even though it was a public health funder, public health can be a leverage point. It can be a way to advocate. But what they also realized is at the time, this was 2008, 2009, where we were as a country and with our state budgets really struggling, the economic factor was also a really important motivator. So what ultimately ended up happening with this report is they didn't just analyze things like student preferences for fruits and vegetables and how those changed with farm to school, but they also looked at the economic impact to the farmers that were benefiting from that additional 7 cents. So it became not just a public health report, excuse me, but an economic report as well. And that really goes back to that slide earlier showing that farm to school is a win for kids and for farmers and communities. So that's the Oregon example. The Texas example, Andrew Smiley was originally going to give this presentation. He is the director of the Sustainable Food Center in Texas, and he was involved in the Texas legislation. So what Texas did, they, like Oregon, started with a pilot program just to test out how farm-to-school was going to work. They ended up finding the pilot program so successful at health indicators, economic indicators, they scaled it up to a statewide program. Then, because of a report, this white paper, you can see here, recommendations on childhood nutrition and new markets for farmers. Again, their report, just like the Oregon one, focused on health and economics. They wrote this white paper that then led to legislation where they now, on the right-hand side, have a statewide interagency task force and they have a statewide coordinator. So they now have someone that's paid by the state budget at the Department of Agriculture for the state to run farm-to-school programs. So it took years going from a pilot program to research on nutrition and economic development to a task force and eventually a coordinator position. But it all really started back at the beginning by looking at the health benefits of farm to school. Oh, did you have anything on the Oregon example?
I can wait.
Okay.
It's okay, yeah.
So one last state example before I turn it over to Stephanie. So New Mexico, they have been able to secure state budget funds for locally grown, so New Mexico grown fruits and vegetables. This is just an example of what they've used, a map where they've actually plotted out schools and farms that are actually supplying local products. So maps just being a good motivator. Just for folks who are interested at the state level, USDA has now started doing a farm to school census where they survey school districts all across the country. So if you're curious what's happening in your state, I'd encourage you to pull that up. This report, food hubs, for folks who don't know, food hubs are essentially the folks, it can be infrastructure, it can be virtual, who get the product from the farm to the plate. So they can do the aggregation, they can do the processing, they can do the storage, the distribution, so kind of that supply chain from the farm to the plate. So I just found this data set, data point really important is that 35% of food hubs surveyed are already serving K through 12 markets, but then 32% said there are many opportunities. So I think data set points like that are really effective, along with maps and the other things that we've already talked about, at motivating change. So before I turn it over to Steph, I think, well, actually, let's do that. Let's turn it over to you, and then we'll go back to that at the end.
So I think just a couple things that I wanted to add, because we are in the midst of these conversations right now, is one of the things that you just said, Helen, that kind of connected with me is that we've really tried to be intentional about building on conversations that have been happening over a period of time. And so we've had a farm-to-school leadership team in our state, in Minnesota, for the last 3 years. And so we've built on those connections and relationships that have already been built and tried to leverage those to bring in a more diverse group of stakeholders to have this conversation. But I have to say the work that's been done before us has been so helpful and validating for moving our work forward. So in addition to this Oregon 7 Cents report, there's the Center for Research and Translation out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and I'm not sure I actually just said that center name correctly, but they have documented the progress or the process that was used in Oregon as kind of a best practice coming up in terms of farm-to-school policy approaches. And so we've been using that as a way to kind of guide our work and to really think about how we bring diverse stakeholders to the table and come to these, you know, how we kind of keep the work moving forward. And so we do have a diverse group. We have 25 different organizations, from the American Heart Association and cancer to farmers organizations to health plans to state agencies. And one of the things that we have found to be really successful is being really open about people's self-interest and why they come to the table. And you know, as Helen said, to really have a true win-win-win, it's easier in farm to school because you can talk about farm to school to different people differently. So if you come from the economic background, you talk about the economic return, like the 7 cents. If you're talking to farmers, you can talk about, you know, new and expanded markets. And, you know, so you have different talking points to different audiences, which is really powerful about farm to school. And for us in Minnesota, we're a large state, and we're a rural state. So we have our Twin Cities metro area, but we have farmland everywhere. And so this concept of connecting kids with their food is really exciting and energizing. But I will I guess I will say one of the things that I have done is a lot of, if you really want to think about being effective with state policy, I've been serving the role as kind of convener and coordinator. Okay, great. And in doing so, I think you bring everyone's interest to the table and you just get them out there, and I think that's really important. The report that has been passed around was also a really good way to get people thinking about what kind of policy ideas would resonate in Minnesota. And so we had those initial conversations. People asked me to go back and do additional research, so I got to talk to people in Oregon and D.C. and Alaska who've passed kind of similar legislation to talk about what's been successful for you, what have been your lessons learned. I've brought that information back to the group. Then they have basically said, this is where I'd like you to go next. And so there's been this really kind of beautiful dance that's happened, and people have felt really empowered to come together. And so we're at that stage right now where we're working to, we've requested a meeting with the governor and his staff in Minnesota to talk about farm-to-school policy, and hopefully we'll keep the conversation going. I don't know. Is there anything else you want me to touch on?
Let's go to this last slide, because okay. We're at our time. I think I was so excited to have this conversation with Stephanie yesterday and realize, like, she's going through this right now, like, trying to get her state to actually implement legislate farm-to-school policy. And so just to close, I think these points Stephanie is hitting on are really important. So doing your homework when you're trying to actually advocate. So taking data sets, she's been interviewing folks in other states, as she was saying, about what they've done, being really specific. So the Oregon example was great. They actually surveyed Oregon kids and Oregon farmers. Or in Minnesota, Stephanie is actually talking with, you know, farm groups and health groups in her state, so you can really be specific when you're trying to make that advocacy ask. The triple win, that's just the win for kids, farmers, and communities, remembering that, I loved how you said it, that was so great, like, depending on who you're talking to, you can change your message on farm to school. And then, of course, anytime you're advocating, just knowing your target audience, so knowing, do they care about health, do they care about economics, so then you can really tailor your message. So that's my contact info, and then Stephanie has got cards as well. Do you have any closing remarks?
So this has been really great. I think just starting the conversation is really powerful, and reflecting on where people have been is helpful in moving the conversation forward.